life, universe, and everything. So settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Mick and Sylvie Avery.
Once again, and welcome to the Spirits Work Show, the metaphysical and spiritual show with a difference. I'm Sylvie Avery.
I'm Mick Avery. Hi.
And we are mediums, healers, and authors who have chosen to serve humanity through our gifts of spirit communication. We focus on education, and on this show, through mixed deep trance mediumship, we are able to bring you the truth as to the nature of your existence direct from the other side of life. On today's show, we'll be discussing listeners' questions, and if you'd like to join us, we'd love to hear from you. It's toll-free in the US and Canada. It's 888-815-9756, and international callers, it's 001-530-876-3222, but that last one isn't toll-free. And basically, it's general questions, and it's basically, although we're mediums, we don't do readings on this program. If people who are familiar with the show will know that it's all about information, general information that everybody can learn from. But having said that, we do readings, Akashic readings, and all sorts of readings, and you can find out more about that on our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com, and Mick will tell you about the other websites because I don't know them. He's in on, he's got another website finished. Okay. And, so basically you can find out more about that, from any one of our websites. Okay.
Okay. Well, hi everyone. I'm Mick Avery and welcome to Spirit's Work on bbsradio.com here live every Sunday at 10 a.m. PST, which is 1 p.m. EST, 6 p.m. GMT. Now, if you'd like to know more about us, our books, our CDs, or maybe you would like an Akashic reading or any of the loads and loads of downloads that we have, we suggest you go visit our websites, which are at www.spirit-teaching.com and also at www.spiritsworkradio.com. Yes, I did say we weren't going to do that again, wouldn't I? I mean, the triple W bit.
Yeah.
Anyway, and also we're live at mcavey.com, and that's at that's really for Europe and the UK and all of that. Yes, I think that's. Yeah, that's it. Anyway, each week live on the show, I channel an enlightened spirit guide called Gregory Hay, who is the main spokesperson for a group of highly evolved spirits called the White Cloud Group. Gregory himself had an earth life in the early 1700s in England, but now he has come back to share the vast insights and wisdom he has gained access to with those of us still on the earth. And I'm going to have to do that right now. This is the very little time that I have. And believe it or not, sometimes I even make a mess of just the 2 minutes that I have of the show, being conscious. So that's about it, really.
You can switch off again now.
Then. I can then, can't I? Yes. I am. Bye.
Okay. Yes. Gregory, who we will be coming to speak to us soon, is the spokesperson for the White Cloud Group. And the group consists of scientific minds of all descriptions. And they are an educational team that have come to give us information that will help us to move forward on a more harmonious and peaceful way of life. Understanding the nature of our existence is hopefully paramount to not only helping us to have a better life, it also will enable us to help us to make better informed decisions as to the benefit of our world and the negativity that we seem to get caught in so much. On this physical earth plane. When Mick is in trance, his spirit and his consciousness are transported and held by the scientific members of the group so that we can enjoy the complete personality of Gregory. This means there's no room for error because interpretation doesn't come into it. And as Mick said, you can go to our website, which is spirit-teaching.com, to find out all sorts of information. And you can email me at it's on the website, enq@spirit-teaching.com. That's it. That's the one. If you want to know anything about us, I will get back to you. And if you have any questions for the show, you can email that number. If you don't want to phone in, that's fair enough. You can email me your question or a whole show topic if you want us to cover a whole show topic with your questions as well. So I look forward to hearing from you anyway. And I do believe Gregory's here now.
Hello, dear friend. With love and light, blessings, everyone.
Hello. Hi.
Greetings. Yes.
Okay, Gregory, do you have anything you want to start with this week, or do you want me to go straight into the questions?
No, I feel, my dear friend, you should really go straight into the questions. I believe that you had one still left from the last session.
Okay, we'll go on from that one. I do have plenty of questions, actually. Thankfully. This one's from Chris of Devon in the UK. Can you describe the mechanics of unconditional love, its function, and whether there is an even grander energy connection than this?
Very interesting question, this. Unconditional love, that's perhaps, some might say, something which is attuned only to human beings, because they, after all, are supposed to be the ascended ones of all of the creation of life within the earth plane. Unconditional love, in a sense, is the energy that you connect with another being. So, in a sense, unconditional love may not be your emotional interpretation of it. You have to leave your emotional interpretation to one side, in a sense, when you are trying to understand what unconditional love is. That means to say you do not have a hand in it. It means to say that unconditional love in itself is something which just acquires you. That means you do not perfect it. You do not orchestrate it. You simply let go of self, and your alternate ego, in a sense, not instinctive ego, because you wouldn't be able to be a being living in the physical life if you got rid of your instinctive ego. But your alternate ego, that is something whereby you acquire something yourself because you demand of it. Unconditional love is not that way. So, for example, if you are talking about emotional love, when you are connected with someone, place, or thing, you are talking about your needs, desires upon it, how that desire affects you, the image of it, the sound of it, its presence. Ordinarily, if you orchestrate this in your physical life, you are already looking at how and what it means to you. You want to hang on to it. Yes. And so it becomes a bit of your property. It becomes, in a sense, a part of what you desire. Unconditional love has none of this. No conditions, no precognitive behavior. In other words, it isn't something that you actually bring into your mind, I want to have unconditional love. It's just something you either have and experience, and the breath of experience is something by which you gain a different kind of alternate understanding. It's like, in a sense, if you gazed into the universe with unconditional love, it may well be that what actually happens is that your periphery vision begins to elude you. So your periphery vision gradually melts away. Your unconditional love is when you project, in a sense, without purpose towards something. Unconditional love is when you are not expecting a return, but purely give because you perhaps desire or want to direct your energy in order to perhaps try to bring about a healing modality, or maybe you want to try and bring about understanding for that being to understand you. Now, oftentimes, it is actually thought that if a human being wants to bring about an understanding of another being of what you are about, that is controlling, that is emotional control. Or, in a sense, because it may well be, for example, that you actually send out the wrong message. And that actually what the other being gains back is that, in a sense, that you are trying to control it through your the energy that you're sending out. Unconditional love, in effect, has no conditions, no strings. So it means the whole mechanism of it is that it comes from the fiber of your being, not from the emotive plane, which is, in a sense, much closer to you.
So it transcends the physical function from, say, the physiology point of view.
Yes.
From your mind and your shall we say, your intention. So there's no motive, there's no condition. So you would you say then it's more of a coming from directly from your spirit and bypassing all of the stuff, shall we say?
Yes, all of the parameters and mechanics of your physical mental mind and all of that. Because usually what tends to happen is then when you engage the mental mind, it then becomes decapitated. The actual activity becomes decapitated because you are trying to affix your emotion to it and to try to give it energy, which in actual fact is, in a sense, usually because either you lack something or you require something. It's to do with energy that you give out because you have a purpose that you want to bring back.
But knowing this, and if you were trying to do some self-development on yourself, you could actually say, you know, I want to be able to love this person unconditionally because this feeling that I'm getting behind my emotions is not good for me either, and I don't like it. So I want to try to love this being unconditionally. So you can try. That's not ego, is it?
No, that is very true. That is absolutely true. The point is, the distinction I'm trying to make, I suppose, perhaps innately, is really to do with how you as a being understand your emotion states. And when you desire something, the mechanics behind that desire are usually that it drives, in a sense, it's much more on an earth plane. So it means that your energy level actually subsides and doesn't increase because it's driven by physical earth mortality, in a sense. Whereas when you are giving unconditional love, you're not expecting the response. Either from your mind mechanics, isn't expecting a response. So you're not expecting the feeling that you actually get back. And that is why unconditional love actually has a completely different effect upon you, because you haven't already driven the parameters of what you think you're going to receive in return, because you don't have an agenda. It's very important for human physical beings to understand that if they don't have an agenda, that means all of the workings out of why they are giving something, it's usually because beings, in a sense, when they're having a physical life, tend to make the opus operandi to create a reason for doing. Otherwise, you wouldn't do anything. You'd just sit on a seat and watch the world go by. So the operas state is really to do with how you feel about yourself when you are, and then when you are going through unconditional love, you haven't got that as a guiding influence. So you're not doing it out of selfishness. You aren't doing it because of cause and effect. You want to give this in order to receive that. You see?
So it's a bit like the same as trying to be, when people say, try to be ascended.
Yes, yes.
You know, if you were ascended, you wouldn't know you were because you wouldn't have an ego.
Exactly, and so that's my whole point, really. Mm. Yes, that's always my whole point, really, about the so-called ascensionist view of the mechanics of the universe. Mm. You wouldn't know that you were. And the whole point about doing all of this work is not for you to proclaim self, but simply to create and express whatever is perceived of the moment or whatever is perceived of the will of self at that time. It doesn't mean to say that you are not necessarily acting out of, not out of selfishness. It may well be that a being who actually doesn't call themselves ascended, but actually comes out with a great deal of wisdom, in effect, doesn't necessarily do so to self-serve them, their own self-explanation.
Mm. Absolutely, yeah, yeah. So, in respect of the spirit world, then, if unconditional love would be just, it just would be, come out, it would be in your vibration.
Yes, that's
presumably.
Right.
I mean, absolutely. It is anyway, isn't it, indirectly here, but we, you know.
Yes, yes.
Most of us aren't that sensitive to be walking around.
Yes.
Sensing things like that, and it would be quite dangerous to do that.
Yes, yes. Yes, quite so. And of course, it would also be visual as well.
In the spirit world?
No, on the physical plane.
Can you explain that?
Yes, I would be very happy to. Unconditional love, a being that feels that.
Mm-hmm.
As an expression of themselves, mm-hmm. but doesn't call it that, because by calling yourself that you are giving unconditional love means, in a sense, that you are emoting it. That means you're putting on a condition. Yes?
Okay.
So you wouldn't actually be talking about it. You would just be giving it and would not ever express that that was what you were doing. Because that in itself is like a can be construed as a pattern of a form of egotistical self. Yes?
Mm-hmm. Whoops. Yep.
So you have to remember exactly what all of these situations and parameters and the way in which other people may well interpret words or soundings as though your energy does not illuminate it. Surely it does. So that means to say that if you have a being who is in the state of unconditional love, their skin will be illuminated, will have a kind of a glow about it, every single pore. And that being will most probably spend a great deal of time grinning from ear to ear and unable to speak.
Is there such a person living? I mean, I
understand that there are some who have made it, in a sense, their life state to give up all things mechanical material in respect of all states of being other than, in a sense, extending themselves to the universe.
Yes, but isn't that cheating? Because it's all, I could, you know, send my loving thoughts out to all day and every day if nobody was ever hurting me and I didn't have to work to pay my bills and
yes,
people
yes.
upset me and
I understand
do you know what I mean?
That. Yes, yes,
so,
yes. Quite so.
That's that sort of sends mixed messages to me personally.
I understand that.
I know what you mean about translucent energy. I'm going to go and get some different foundation tomorrow, everybody. Get a little bit of a sheen on. But seriously, I know, you know, you can sense the lovely spiritual
that is true.
Essence of people.
Yes, yes.
And very often these people are can be bullied by others who for some reason just tend to do that, don't they? I have to say,
they can get picked on.
Very
yes,
often
that's right.
That can be the case if you're that different. Anyway, can I just move on to this
part
of this? Chris says, is there a grander energy than this?
A grander energy? Mm. That is very difficult to say, my dear friend, because it depends upon perception. For example, there may well be one being who perceives that unconditional love is nothing at all. And so it's really about the perception of what you feel, emanating perhaps from another being, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a human. It can be any other kind of living being.
But it's love, isn't it? And so yes. If love is the fundamental energy, that the most beautiful energy that we can think of anyway from a human being's perspective,
yes.
All kinds of love, I'm not talking about
physical.
Yeah, or relationships or anything like that.
No.
And the spirit world is to do with your vibration, and the more loving a being you are, the more refined your vibration gets.
Yes.
And the more...
Yes, that's right.
You do become a more beautiful being.
Yes,
So presumably unconditional love is something that is earned purely by your energy. And your intention.
Yes, that is right. And intention is the key. So it means to say that you don't have... It's not necessarily that you don't have negative thoughts or that negative thoughts don't interact with you. Unconditional love is usually something that comes and goes. It's not a constant.
Hmm.
It's not possible for a being having physical life to have constant unconditional love.
No.
Because they have to cope with matters to do with physical life. And it inherently is not about unconditional love, physical life. You see?
Absolutely, yeah, I do. I mean, the thing is, you know, because if you think about it, no matter how loving you are, if somebody came to attack you and your loved ones, then you would protect them in whatever way you could.
Unless you thought that it was God's will, in which case you would just simply sit there with a big grin on your face while your child gets hacked to pieces.
Well, let's not go there, because...
I'm just saying, though, that there are those people who think in that way.
I'm sure there is, but yeah. Why I say let's not go there is because... that would take an awful long time for me to get my head around.
No, I understand that, but that's also a matter of perception that people have about the conditions of what they perceive as being life's rituals or life's passageways,
yeah.
About everything being written or
yeah.
not.
Yeah, which is why we try to get people to realise that it's not all written. And
yes, quite so. That's right. And that you have to have an action in it.
Yeah. You're creating your life now, here and now.
Yes.
So...
And that the model really in physical life is a matter of beings who, in a sense, that they actually lose out to other beings' energy because it's stronger in some way or different in some way.
Hmm.
That means that that situation is allowed to percolate.
Hmm. Well, this leads on to this question from Jessica in the US.
Yes.
Thank you for that.
Thank you,
Jessica. Question, actually, Christopher.
Yes.
Okay, because she says... first of all, she says she's been listening faithfully to our show for several months now, and she absolutely loves it. Lovely, lovely. Anyway, she says, I became curious about my spiritual life when I had an experience, a sort of a spiritual awakening after an auto accident. Must get my glasses changed.
Yes.
And she says, sometimes I am overwhelmed with the information I find on the internet, and I was wondering if you could ask Gregory for me where I can start at the beginning. I have so much curiosity, but there is conflicting information, so many opinions, and I have trouble filtering everything to find the truth.
Yes, the most understanding you can ever gain, truthfully, I have to say, is from your own spirit. So that means not for you to look up this or that matter on this or that situation, site, or however you come by the information. The matter is for you to understand your own spirit. And that means, in a sense, I suppose it is a way not of shutting the world out, but for you to understand that everything that you read about, everything that you allow into your mind is through someone else's mind, doesn't necessarily make it right. It may well be that person or being has a slanted interest, either something that is religiously confined or in some other way guided. That means controlled. So whenever you say that something is guided, it's controlled. It's a matter of control of someone else trying to control you. So in this respect, my dear friend, I am not trying to control you, because I want for you to look at your own spirit, to allow yourself to go there. And that really means for you to let go, not of everything, not of your will or anything like that, but when in a state of peace, and when in a state of that you perhaps say some kind of invocation in order that you feel honored and protected, and that you are raising yourself to your best state. That means that you are giving respect, in a sense, to the universe. And that in itself will enable then for you and the universe, and ultimately your spirit, to become closer. And this is the greatest form of contact you can ever make.
So a form of contemplation, sort of meditation,
yes.
Going within,
yes.
Sitting quietly in the peace. And
yes.
Yeah.
Just okay, simply that. And you would find that doing this each and every day, perhaps first thing in the morning, many people find is best, because it starts them off right. It means that they become connected with their spirit identity, and therefore they feel more grounded, more real, more able to make the right kinds of choices and decisions, and because, quite simply, they are more in alignment with their beautiful spirit. And the more that you do this, dear friend, the greater and closer this liaison will become. What you have to understand is that your beautiful spirit never comes to the physical side of life. So you have to make the effort to make that connection.
So the other thing I would say is, if you want to have an Akashic reading by Gregory, he actually can look into your Akashic book, and also generally look at you and your spirit energy, and he can let you know what particular gifts that you have that are potentially there for you to develop, basically.
Yes, absolutely.
Which saves an awful lot of time.
Yes, yes.
And seriously, you know, I know it sounds like I'm cashing in on this, but if it's really helpful and beneficial. It can save years of trying to wonder how you are going to develop. And exactly like you say, it's a minefield. The internet is a total minefield.
Because there are people with their own agendas.
Yeah.
The point is that this is really about power and control of self. So other people would perhaps want for you to allow them to have power and control over you. That's really what religion does, in a sense, in a roundabout way. Yes, I am well aware that for much of it, it is a matter of people making their choices as however you wish to make them. You are, after all, having a free will existence.
Mm.
Never forget that.
Yeah. So if you want to do that, Jessica, you can get in touch with me, and we can sort that out and put you straight, and maybe set you on an appropriate program of development for yourself. You know, we can't we can't obviously do it so specifically in this way, but and that's the same with everybody. But nevertheless, going within, doing a short meditation every day, then that is the way to really become connected.
Yes.
Because that's what you're trying to do, is develop that connection to your spirit.
And therefore raise your vibration,
yeah.
Change your vibration index so that you are more connected. And all of this is really about strengthening that connection that you have with your beautiful, pure spirit, which after all is connected actually physically. Your spirit is connected to your physical body via your solar plexus through the etheric bead, which is like a little piece of string that goes from the spirit side of life, from your spirit, to the physical body.
After all, that's the area. The spirit side is the part that you are trying to bring into now, more so.
Yes, that's right.
That stands to reason. Hopefully this makes sense anyway.
So that your beautiful spirit would then enables you to understand so much more.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, well, let's stick on topic of the spirit world and energy in the spirit world.
Yes,
I have one here from Christopher in Oregon in the US. Hi, Christopher.
Hello, Christopher.
okay. He wants to know about OPAC soul groups. We've talked about OPACs before. I'll obviously have to recap for people
yes.
that are new to this.
Yes.
But he was wondering if there have ever, if there's ever been a question about distinguishing OPAC heritage from other soul group heritage.
Well, OPAC heritage generally tends to come through an individual purely and simply because of their mindset. That means that their spirit has already brought through a certain kind of condition which then changes their mindset from any other ordinary physical being. So let's say then an ordinary physical being would be someone who just doesn't really think that much outside the box, is a being who thinks in a mundane way purely and simply about their life. Maybe they just have a simple life. There's nothing wrong in having a simple life. I don't have an argument one way or the other. But you have to understand that OPAC heritage really comes from the facet of how your spirit, when it moved away from the creation of life and separated away from the creation of life, your beautiful spirit, still whole, of course, and still very knowing, but because, of course, it's part of that God energy, but that in actual fact, what actually happens is that the spirit migrates to perhaps a certain kind of other energy, which is connected to various planets about the universe, not necessarily in your known universe, in your present dimension, but maybe to do or linked with somewhere else, some other dimension or other status of existence. And really what this is about, it does not mean to say that all beings that are from one particular planet are of one soul group. And that means that that's an OPAC being of type. OPAC beings are generally beings who are very spiritually aware, but also spiritually gifted. And they're gifted in a certain way. It's like, in a sense, they don't have to do a great deal of work in knowing something that is that has its perceptional roots elsewhere in the galaxy or elsewhere in a different form of vibration. So it means to say that they generally tend to be beings who think outside the box. They are not fixed in terms of other beings who are having their physical life and trying to combat energies of the physical form. That's not to say that OPACs then lead a blameless or trouble-free life either. OPACs oftentimes can have serious consequences of having Earth-human physical life or being a habitee of such a thing, purely and simply because the energy of Earth, of the Earth form, is so very different to that of being an OPEC. So that means to say then, there are not specific bars as to, this group of OPECs are from this group, in a sense. It's like being an OPEC does not denote the soul group you are from necessarily. It can be that you are an OPEC from almost any soul group known or unknown in the universe. And there are millions and millions of different soul groups that exist. So it is not necessarily a particular, characteristic of soul group, but rather a characteristic of energy type. And that is what makes it different.
Okay. It's the spirit essence of that being,
it is the spirit essence of that being, yes, absolutely. Because generally, as a rule of thumb, what tends to happen is an OPEC's existence, that is a beautiful, pure spirit's existence in its origination, when first coming to have some kind of physical existence or semblance of it, generally tends to be that it's over a period of, if you were looking at it in terms of Earth years, would be over thousands and thousands of years, over perhaps 20, 30, maybe even 40,000 Earth years. So that's a very long time of a being to gain understanding and familiarity with specific vibrations, content, emotion, understanding consequence, understanding the sheer forces at work within any given environment, and what it takes to repel or acquiesce to different forces of energy in that given environment. So that means an OPEC existence creates a different kind of layering within the being themselves. And it's not necessarily that this will automatically always be revealed to the being when they're having a physical life. It may well be that all of this is underneath, like an undercurrent. But then you can pick, and most certainly usually comes through a person, an individual in their Akashic book, that there are certain lights within their Akashic book, which means that they have this OPEC heritage.
Absolutely, yes. Okay.
It doesn't necessarily mean to say that it makes that being more communicative. Sometimes OPECs have a great deal of problem with communication. Because they don't assimilate well, as I said, in the physical side of life. Because we regard the physical side of life upon the earth as being the murky world.
Yeah.
Bit like walking in soup.
This is why I can never understand why people think that you have to keep coming back here to become ascended.
Yes, or knowledgeable. Spirit is knowledgeable anyway. Has the full fulcrum of everything in the universe. Because it's part of God, right? So it has to be.
Do you use that word ascended in the spirit world?
No. It's something that generally tends to be an egotistically based program, in a sense, of mind. It's a mind program. I must be better than you. I must crawl on your back in order to see out the window, in order to gain the level of purer air, so I'm not breathing your air, you see?
Okay, there's more to this question. Let me see. I thought it would be interesting to discover whether the different soul groups within OPEC have similarity. Oh, you've just said that it doesn't have to be.
No, it doesn't have to be. It's not governed by that.
Okay, yeah. And the other part of that question is how many OPECs are here on Earth? Oh, gosh.
No, that is not really a question, because there are hundreds and hundreds of thousands of OPECs having a present physical existence.
But I have to say that something I've learnt through doing the Akashic readings with you is that some of the people that really that we rely on who are seekers of the of a spiritual nature, not necessarily, I don't mean religion, I mean humanitarian, etc., something bigger than this, and who want to make a difference to the world are very often opaque, sometimes not.
Yes, and they don't have to be spiritually gifted or appear to be. They are just doing selfless situations.
Mm. Yeah, I don't mean people who are working with spirit or anything like
that. No. They are just creators. They are beings who see perhaps a humanity problem, an animalistic problem.
Do you think that, you know, it's a bit like you can say, oh, there's a certain type of person that needs to be in every village or every family, somebody, a mender, somebody who can think outside the box, who can see the bigger picture, lateral thinking, etc., can see a problem. Do you think that's something that the OPACs are here doing?
Yes, they generally tend to bring that, because otherwise it's like...
To make a difference.
Yes, absolutely, because the raft of it is that many people are... I suppose, in a sense, you could say, have not really developed that much past being cave dwellers.
Mm.
I mean that in a sense of not putting emotion into it, but just saying that all they want to do is that their modus operandi is differently based. They just perhaps want to breed, or that they want to they like food. That doesn't mean to say that is something that's parochial and not a part of everybody's wish when they're having a physical life. I'm not saying that.
But that's just not getting past the basics then, basically.
Yes, that's right. Mm. That's right, I suppose. And for some people, it's perfectly all right to do that. And I'm not saying that it's naughty or bad or that there is anything negative about that. No. It's perfectly all right to do that. One has to cope with the life they have in whatever honourable way they are able to do that, hopefully. And that is a governing point, I suppose. The whole situation about OPAC heritage and how that is there for, in a sense, sent to help humankind is really because the spirit is something that is not much more in control, but much more evident. So it means that human physical being can actually make that connection if they so choose of it. Mm-hmm. If they still have a free will, though, doesn't mean to say that you have to abide by it. You can ignore it if that's your passion.
Yes, well, most people wouldn't even know, would they? Unless you have an Akashic reading, folks.
Or unless you are suddenly finding yourself as this incredibly gifted being who is able to actually think completely differently.
Yes, because sometimes, would you say sometimes knowing that you're an OPAC...
can get in the way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. I totally agree, friend. Mm. So sometimes we're actually quite reluctant, maybe, to even say that that person is this way.
Yeah.
But oftentimes it usually comes to a being having an Akashic reading that... if they are an OPAC, that we have to say, because it can become part of the blockage, part of the interference, part of the situation of why they are so perhaps troubled within their life, purely because they can't see as to the beautiful gifts they really do have.
Mm, knowing there's something that's within them that they can't actually put their finger on.
Yes, and so oftentimes revealing this then helps those beings to actually then reintegrate themselves within the rest of humanity and actually do the purpose, create the purpose for which they are desired.
Mm, yes, it gives them confidence to actually step forward and sort of stand up to the plate, basically, knowing that they have an inner strength that is bigger than what they thought it was, even though they had an inkling that there was something going on.
Yes, and this most certainly, you must remember, is not a process by birth. It is a process to do with your spirit. So you can be born in a mud hut, my dear friend, and not have a stick of language or anything else but be an OPAC.
Hmm. Yes. So, Yeah, I mean.
So the wisdom becomes, for example, oftentimes it would be that in tribes long past, medicine people would be opaques.
Yeah.
You see? Beings who were spiritual leaders oftentimes were opaques.
Yes.
Of one notion or another.
Yeah, and it's all about balance, isn't it? Like you say,
yes, yes.
You know, living a simple life, there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, it can be sometimes, I'm not saying that I'm any great leader, but it would be nice sometimes to not care about so many things.
Yes, yes.
You know.
I understand, because oftentimes the caring also induces a great deal of pain because of perhaps perceived ability to create an alternate issue,
yes,
or create an alternate language,
yes,
you know, to what you see, feel, or sense.
Yes, once you find out there's something,
yes,
that
right,
needs to be done, and you can't do it.
Yes, yes.
Whereas if you don't get past the first hurdle,
yes,
and think, well,
it's like having your hands chopped off.
You know, yeah, absolutely.
I understand.
It's a fascinating subject, though, and
yes, yes, quite.
Yeah, so if we can just stay on this subject a little longer, because I actually don't think it's worth changing
it for another one. No, I understand that.
Not at this time. Yes. But opaques, let's go back to the situation with opaques. So basically, being an opaque, you can have thousands and thousands of years in one dimension or a different planet.
Yes.
And then, you know, people might say, well, why couldn't I know about that when I have this life? How come that if I was that knowledgeable? And that is the biggest problem, I think, for people, is to convince them, not necessarily that they're opaque, but that they were more knowledgeable before they came here, which is why we have the problem with the reincarnation, because people think they've started from scratch.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes. And therefore, then only those people or beings who remember something or illuminate something of their past, that puts them higher up the pecking tree. And the point is, of this, is that it means that, in a sense, once again, it's the whole ascended tree situation of people climbing upon one another. My point, really, is that in the scheme of the spirit world, you have to understand that, in actual fact, all beings who exist now upon the physical side of life have been in existence as beings of the spirit world for millions and millions of years. So that means that you all have a history that is so ancient and so beautiful, but that what happens is that it tends to become something that is laden, that is created, an energy about it, which is really to do with power and control that other people have over life. So that means to say that the situation becomes that you are not perhaps supposed to think of anything or allow even remotely for your mind to become blank, because it's dangerous. That's what you're told. Or that's what many people are told. So that they have to have an icon or image in the forefront of the mind so that the mind never becomes blank, to enable something more beautiful to come would be declared to be a blasphemy, or would be declared then to be ungodlike, you see? But in actual fact, the whole essence of, I suppose, what I'm trying to say here is that the energy of your journey is that every single one of you can do something incredibly beautiful this day, this very moment, can perceive something much more beautiful even than yourself. So that doesn't put you down. That means to say that it makes you feel more humble, perhaps, about the being that you are and your ability to try to do something better. So you don't have to have had thousands of past lives to do that, for you have one life of millions and millions of years in ancient state. So that gives you a history far in excess beyond humanity, beyond anything that humanity actually has to offer or having Earth physical life, because it's actually quite mundane and can be, in excess, repetitive. What this means is that when you connect your conscious state to your beautiful spirit, then you can gain more access to this greater knowledge about self. So that means that you won't become so hideous in anger or hideous in your selfishness or wanting to wage war or power over someone else. You're not going to use this information for power over someone else, unless, of course, you are negatively displaced to do so. In which case, you will do that anyway, whether you, as a being, orchestrate it or not, because, quite simply, that is a mindset, not anything to do with your spirit. The problem where all this came about was really because it was emoted by many different religious factions that the whole essence and energy of spirit is that it doesn't exist without physical life. And that, I suppose, is a matter of perception. That's really because of the fact that many human beings cannot actually perceive of something that's non-physical.
Oh, well, that,
and
yeah.
that in itself can be more beautiful and more pure and perfect than any thought or living understanding.
Yeah, well, that's because we have the limitation of our human brain.
Yes, that's right.
Absolutely everything. So I was just going to say our imagination, but we did that last week, and that's connected to our spirit, isn't it?
Yes, that's so, right. Absolutely.
We would have to rely on that. But then that would mean a connection to our spirit.
Yes.
To get the inspiration and the intuition.
Yes.
From a higher conscious level.
Yes. But none of that takes away from the physical being that you are. It just means that you're more illuminate to the qualities that are your spirit and that your potential to access and even change them using your physical brain. Because that enables that consequence to come forward, that connectivity to be bright within your consciousness, and therefore that you can play with it, and then you can create something new from that.
Yeah, and absolutely. And the thing is, knowing all of this information, it sort of takes the sting out of things a little bit, a lot of the fear out of it.
Yes, it's supposed to free you.
Absolutely. Learn what you can.
It's not to be a chain round your neck.
No, this life is supposed to be enjoyed. But we're passing through, chaps.
Yes. And then when you have done with it, your existence will continue just as it was before, except for the fact that if you've been a negative being, then you will unfortunately be wallowing around in the soup that is not of the physical world, but is of your alternate desire, which is what you create by your actions and motives and situations that you've created in your physical life.
Yeah, but you're talking about really
negative.
But
that's just temporary.
Yeah, absolutely, because saying that, you know, that's a lot of the time what religion's all about, and why
yes,
people want
right.
to follow the person that says, I have the
I
the
have
key.
The way, the I key, have,
yeah,
yes.
absolutely. So yes. We don't mean negative as in negative just like thoughts and feelings that we all get.
No, indeed
again.
Not.
We're talking about
power over others and
really
that kind
dangerous,
of thing.
Dangerous
yes.
situations.
Yes,
yeah.
yes, quite
yeah.
so. Absolutely so.
Okay.
So that means to say that everyone has the key to themselves, really. You can open your own box, you see.
Absolutely.
And look at the beauty within yourself. It is there for everyone.
Okay.
Yes.
Well.
With love and light then, friend little bird. God bless you. and, of course, to Mr. Newsome and all of the other little Newsomes.
Who happen to be
popping up like minions and rabbits.
Ah, oh, lovely. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. So God bless upon your journey, friends. God bless.
Yes. God bless, Gregory. And if you enjoyed the show, we'd like to hear from you. Do get in touch. It's spirit-teaching.com. And that's our website. And we're here every Sunday. So thank you so much for listening. I'm Sylvie Avery, and this has been the Spirit's Work Show on the wonderful BBS Radio. And until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.